Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome into a brand new week of programs that will bring clarity to the chaos that is all around us. Today, Clayton Van Hus talks with professor and tour administrator Aaron Reynolds about experiencing the land of Israel during trying times. Later this week, Bob McGinnis will lead us deep into what we know and frankly don't know about the surge of UFO activity, and we'll learn about how to have true victory over the dark forces of the spirit world with Greg Patton. In addition to this daily program, we produce resources, books, and DVDs designed to encourage and strengthen your faith. Our brand new books, Rise of the One World Mind by Josh Davis, Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus, and our 10-episode television series, Pilgrimage to Zion. This special series was filmed in Israel and Jordan, with the beautiful scenery of the Holy Land as our backdrop. Our host and teacher, Larry Stamm, reveals Zion is about the Lord, His dwelling place, and His redeemed people, the people of God. You are invited to join us on this pilgrimage to Zion. All of these resources are available right now at SWRC.com. That's SWRC.com. Here's today's host, coming to us from the Holy Land, it's Affirm Apologetics Director, Clayton Van Hus.
So glad you joined us for the Watchmen on the Wall program. I am your host today, Clayton Van Hus. I'm the director of Affirm, the apologetics branch of Southwest Radio Ministries. And I'm joined today by a very special guest, by my friend Aaron Reynolds. We are in the land of Israel today, Aaron and I. We have been working together at an archaeological dig. Aaron is no stranger to Israel. I'm not even sure exactly how to introduce Aaron. Aaron, welcome to the program, and then we'll get into introductions.
Thank you, Clayton. I'm glad I can be a part of it.
I'm so glad. We have had the opportunity to dig together for the last 3 years. I actually first met you at my home church in Northeast Tennessee. You had come to a Southwest Radio conference.
Yeah.
And Scott Stripling was speaking.
Dr. Stripling, yeah.
Yeah. And then you introduced yourself and said, and asked me if I was digging at Shiloh.
Yeah, because Dr. Stripling kept referencing Clayton. Clayton, I realized, here's the star. Clayton, he's the star
the
of this
star.
Church. So I went and introduced myself and said, well, I'll be with you on the dig this year. Looking forward to it. Yeah, so.
I have enjoyed your friendship. And this year, we actually get to dig together in
yeah.
the same square.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job, Aaron. You're like the draft horse of the team here.
That's how you introduce me. That's
the
my introduction
draft
right there. Okay.
Well, let's talk about introductions. Aaron, you are a guy who does a lot of things. You're an adjunct professor with Crown College. What do you do there?
I facilitate courses in their online modules in a variety of the levels, all the way from their Foundations for Christian Life, basic undergrad, just preliminary overview surveys, basic Christian life, basic Christian doctrine, all the way up to sometimes seminary courses in linguistics and things like that. So a variety of levels.
And you're a farmer.
Yeah. Got to pay the bills. Got to put the groceries on the table.
So. Yeah, you're an archaeologist now. The thing that I find interesting that we want to talk about today is you put together and help to lead tours in the Holy Land.
Yes, I came to Israel in 2002, so 22 years ago, my first time. And like a lot of people, fell in love with it. Came back a lot. And then my dad, who was hosting multiple tours a year, I was working with him at a church in Florida. And when he felt like multiple tours a year for him was a little too much, asked me, Aaron, why don't you host one of mine? Mm-hmm. If you like it, keep doing it. I loved it, so I'm still doing it. And I facilitate for others, but I really love to host them for myself and bring people here to the land.
Yeah, and you're a pastor near Athens, Georgia. What's the town?
Sunlight Baptist Church is in Winterville, just outside of Athens, Georgia.
Okay. And a lot of the tours that you put together, they are for churches and their pastors, right?
Essentially work through pastors, obviously not a requisite thing, but want to work through pastors because people want to be in the land, but they particularly want to be there with their pastor. That's who pours into them on a consistent basis. So that's who's teaching them the Word of God. So everything they've been hearing and are going to be hearing becomes so contextualized when they're here with their pastor, and it just increases that that bond with their pastor, as well as deepening their faith, deepening their spiritual understanding. Not only do we do it because they've got the people there, and so that allows us to gather the people together, but that's what makes the most sense. Go with the shepherd that's poured into you.
And exactly. And it's funny you mentioned that, like bonding. My first trip to Israel, my pastor was supposed to go, but there was an illness, so he wasn't able to go. So the associate pastor went in his place. And he and I were roommates.
Ah.
And the associate pastor is now the pastor. And we have that bond.
Huh,
we have that. We spent time in the land together.
I don't doubt it.
And in fact, I just ate at a restaurant where he and I ate my first trip here. And I thought that was kind of neat. It made me think of him and made me think of, it's all those little experiences. There's just the tourist experience, but there's the experience of seeing the sites that the Bible talks about. So let's talk a little bit about being in the land. You said your first time was 22 years ago. What were you expecting when you came to Israel?
I don't really remember what I was expecting. I really don't. We had planned to go previously. The attacks in 2001 actually kept us from coming the first time. So being unable to come to the land is not a new thing for me. My first trip was delayed. 2002, I've just been dying to get here. I can't wait. To stand in places, to look at things and say, that happened here. I guess that's, maybe to sum it up, that's what I wanted to come away saying.
Yeah.
And some places, man, I could just say, the Sea of Galilee, man, it happened here. Other places I discovered, well, there tends to be opinions about
well,
that kind of
let's
thing.
Let's talk about that.
Nonetheless, the land itself came alive.
Yeah.
And you realized the richness and the texture of the country with the geography, all of that I didn't expect, but I began from the first trip to gain.
And I know a lot of people, like when you talk to people, oh, you need to come to Israel, you need to come visit and see the sites. I oftentimes hear back, well, yeah, but they don't really know. They don't really know that this is where this happened or this is where this happened. And it's all just kind of stuff that pilgrims made up like during the medieval period. Do you find that, like when you come here and you go visit the sites, yes, there are some sites that we look at and we're like, we're not really sure this happened here. But how many of the sites do you find we can be pretty sure this is the place where this happened that the Bible talks about?
Part of my growth in understanding the land is understanding that decision. Who made that decision? But when I first came, the word tradition was a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that's because of tradition. Then I realized there's a value to tradition.
Sure.
Then you bring along archaeology on the side of that. You bring along documented history alongside of that, always starting from the standpoint that the Bible is presenting us with an accurate picture and whatever it's trying to present in the way it's trying to present it. So within that framework, what can we know? And certainly there are times when people want to say, is this the place?
Yeah.
But I have discovered that while there's a desire for absolute certainty, there immediately is a recognition that you can't really demand that of a place after this many years because things just take their course. Nevertheless, if I can stand within an area and say, okay, I'm standing on what some have called the Mount of Beatitudes, and
right.
I can point toward the area, Chorazin lies behind us, Bethsaida lies over here. Now, there's some dispute. But this is the area. But you see the way they lived. And here we are at Tiberias and now up at Magdala.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these places and get the texture for it and say, well, I don't know what certainty I have of some event, but I certainly get a sense for what all of it was like.
Sure.
And that's invaluable.
Yeah, to stand on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, to go up on Mount Arbel and look out over that coast, and to think that so much of the ministry of Jesus took place in such a small area. Just along this coastline of this big lake. But you mentioned Magdala. And I've got to say, that was, for me, being in Israel, what I saw when I came here the first time. I had prayed, you know, Lord, I want to go to Israel. I want to see the Holy Land. I want to see the places where these things happened in this life. You know, someday when Jesus is ruling, you know, maybe I can come here and maybe he'll give me a personal tour. I don't know. But I want to see it with these eyes.
Yeah.
And he allowed that. I remember watching people. It was wintertime. It was raining. It was cold. And I watched people kissing statues or taking a piece of cloth and touching something that's supposed to be holy. They were trying to get mojo off the land. They were on pilgrimage, I guess. I watched people trying to do things, and I thought, people are going to go home unhappy. because they think they're going to the Holy Land and their loved one's going to get healed of something or whatever because they're kissing the right statue. And I thought, people are going to go home disappointed. But God spoke to me through the stone, through the cold, wet stone. I always told people, if I wasn't an actor, I'd be an archaeologist. And of course, God called my bluff on that there. That's a whole nother story. But I saw it in the stone, and it was at Magdala where it really touched me. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus preached in all the synagogues of Galilee. Well, one of his best friends was from Magdala. Of course, that's Mary Magdalene. She was from that town. And there was that first century synagogue. And we had gone to the synagogue in Nazareth, where they had the reproduction site,
the village.
And they had showed us how a synagogue worked and where the rabbi would stand or sit. And here at this synagogue in Magdala, there was a stone that was found, it's believed to be the Torah stand. And it's, of course, in that spot in the synagogue where it should be. So you can stand just a few feet away from where the rabbi would stand or sit while he read from the Torah and taught. And that's what Jesus would do. And so you look at this spot on the floor of this first century synagogue, that very floor, and to think that the likelihood that Jesus stood or sat on this geographical point, I mean, you can touch the piece of ground and say, this piece of ground.
Yeah.
And the likelihood is so astronomically high that he actually was, his feet were right there on that very ground. It hit me. And I thought, wow, I always believed the Bible was real, but now I saw it. It was an eye-opening experience.
With the development of archaeology, there's been more of that. That's been one of the phenomenal things.
Oh, yeah.
Is that more of that certainty than when you speak to someone who went there in the 60s or 70s when sites were rough or being developed. You know this now better than I do. This is the golden age of archaeology.
Oh, yeah.
And with it, granted, maybe a diversity of opinions, but also much greater recognition of authenticity in places that maybe perhaps was unthought of before, like Magdala. They're trying to build a hotel, and they come down on top of a first century synagogue. How incredible is it? I actually, when I go to that site, take my people there. Generally, I have a guide that I use most of the time. That's pretty natural. You develop a relationship with a guide. My Hebrew skills are developing, but I let him have this one. I'll take out the Hebrew section from the Isaiah prophecies that Jesus actually preaches up in Nazareth. Granted, it's Nazareth. But I have him read from that scroll from Isaiah because I want people to hear, what did it sound like that day? I can read the English version. I can do that, and we can appreciate it. But just for a moment, hear what it would have sounded like when Jesus read it that way, in that kind of dialect. And I know there may be some opinions about what, that's fine. But I want to bring them as close as I can to what, like you said, those stones heard, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
It reverberated off of these stones. So just stand here for a moment. Now, that is the element that goes beyond the informational side. I can open up a catalog. I can take a picture. I can look at a website. I can see these pictures. And I tell people, take pictures all you want, but you can find those online. Get in the pictures. You were there at some point. But as soon as you've got it, put it away. Put it away. Because you get one chance to be here. So be here. Absorb it.
Yeah.
Take it in. Because maybe you come back, maybe you don't. But that's the element that goes beyond just obtaining the information about the site, is experiencing something that the land offers. And that's authenticity at a different level. Maybe not the historical or archaeological authenticity that we talk about in that scientific way. In that way that connects to the soul, it's nothing like it. There's nothing like a float on the Sea of Galilee. There's nothing like standing in the Magdala Synagogue. There's nothing like walking the streets of the old city or standing on those stones in front of the gates of the temple there and the Southern Wall excavations. And it goes on and on and on. And
everything.
On.
Yesterday, I was standing at the Southern Wall, and I was standing looking out over the mikvot, looking at those and thinking, this is likely the site where the 3,000 converts were baptized on that day of Pentecost.
Lots of baptismals.
You go to these places and you see these things. And what I learned, I think one of the biggest things I took, like I said, I believed before, but I saw it. And I will never read my Bible the same. Every time I open my Bible and I read. Now, there are some places, you know, in the Bible where it takes place in different lands. But anything that happened, I see it. I can see the site. I can see the, I can smell it. I can, you know, there's the certain type of dirt. There's the type of the heat or the humidity, the lack of humidity or whatever. There are specific things that go into your understanding. And when you read, it's there and you get the culture.
I will refer it often to a pop-up book, the 3D pop-up books when we were kids. I don't know if they still make them. But I know people that collected them, opened them up, and everything in the page with that little cardboard or whatever the material is comes up off the page, and you can even push little doors open, and there's something behind that, and you read along with what's popped up off the page. And I tell people, you're going to read your Bible as a pop-up book. Yeah. There's no way. You can even not believe what's in the Bible, but you can't ever unsee what you've seen. That book will always look differently to you because of what you have experienced there in all the elements of experience, from seeing it, from feeling it, from hearing it, from smelling it, from being tired in it. All of that goes in to now developing a relationship with that book that is can't be found anywhere else. You don't have to come to Israel, certainly to believe God, to understand the Bible, to know it richly and deeply. There's no requirement. But if you can come, you will understand and experience it in a way that you cannot gain anywhere else. And in our day and time, with the availability, Lord willing, soon the open availability to come for everyone to experience this, man, if you've got a chance, you ought to.
Absolutely. And I concur 100%.
There's understandable hesitation when people see the news. And we have to remember that the news entertainment, that's what it is. It's the entertainment industry, not the information industry. Tour hosts, tour guides, the nation of Israel, the tourism industry, the State Department, all understand there's simple that there's areas that you, why would you go there? That there's no reason you would. Sensibly speaking, you never would. Maybe there's more of them right now than there normally are, but the people in this land are eager and hungry, and it, to some degree, I hesitate to use the word reliant, but there's a reliance. There's a dependence upon this because it feeds so many families.
Sure.
When I was here in January with 20 people, there was an outpouring of emotion I've never experienced from the people here seeing tourists back. Some places that you'd gone, they said it's been 105, 108 days since we've had somebody walk in the doors. The doors have been locked since the attacks occurred on October 7th. To see the appreciation, that is something I've been here when times were tight, times were a little scary for some people.
Yes.
But it is wide open. It's safe. I know as little about what's happening in Israel on that scale when I'm here as what I do back home. People back home have to call and tell me, this is going on, or this happened in the news, or whatever.
At home I can keep up with the news, what's happening. Here, you almost wouldn't know if it wasn't for the posters and things that talk about the hostages.
Exactly.
And that sort of thing. But also the other thing that is an indicator, as you were saying, was just how the locals are hit, the economy. I was in the Old City earlier today. I went to the Christian Quarter, and this is where, you know, many Palestinian Christians live. And to see the doors of these businesses that I've known for years, to see them shuttered, literally, have metal shutters over the doors because there's nobody here.
And some of them moving to other countries because they can't survive here anymore. And being Christians, it's hard for them to find other work.
Right.
They're very limited in the scope of work they can find. And so it is Christians, it's brothers and sisters in Christ often who are affected by this. Yeah.
And I find both the Jewish community and the Palestinian community are happy to have us here.
Oh, boy, are they happy. They are happy to have us here, absolutely.
It's really been something. And so the war has affected things. You certainly want to be safe. And yes, there are areas, you have these borders, you have Gaza and Lebanon and places like that, where you want to stay away from certain places. But to come to the land of Israel, to see the sites, you can still do that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and just say, oh, it's safe, but I feel safe. We're not running into trouble.
No place that my current security will be more attended almost in anywhere that I go than when I'm here. Because the Minister of Tourism, they all know where we are. They know where tours are going. They're the ones that tell us, you know what, we would rather you not go here or not go here. And when I was here in January, it was one place, and that was up to the north. So we didn't go to Caesarea Philippi and Tel Dan, right up near the northern border. It's the only places we didn't go. Everywhere else that we wanted to go, we could go. That's how open it was. That we're not relying on, you know, just random wanderings through the land. Oh, did we stumble into somewhere that we should not go? No, all of it's very well pre-planned. All of it's monitored. It's kept up to date. And I spent two solid days with a group in West Bank territories and received nothing but, and this is something, if you've been here, you'll understand this, vendors are everywhere. Vendors are pushy. Vendors are hustling. They're trying to make a living. But it's the first time I've ever had vendors thank me for buying little things that struck me, because they go from you as soon as you say no or we're done, you need to move, they go to the next bus. We had people who said, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And we bought $20 worth of stuff from them, maybe a little bit more than that. That really stuck out to me. And it let me know just how dire it is economically for them. And I was glad we could do anything to help them and say, Lord bless you.
If you had one bit of advice or one thing to say to Christians who are thinking of visiting the Holy Land, what would you say?
It is a spiritual investment unlike any one you can make in any other aspect of your life. You want to go to seminary, you want to go to Bible college, you want to get a Bible certificate, by all means do it. But one of the most profound and readily impactful ways that you can affect your biblical understanding, your depth of the knowledge of the Scriptures, and to find very unique experiences with brothers and sisters in Christ and with the Lord in places that you would never dream that you could have gone and had communion with the Lord. There's no place that can deliver all of those but this place. This is the only one.
It's amazing. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. Our
My
guest
pleasure.
Today has been Aaron Reynolds, pastor, tour guide, archaeologist, professor,
draft
farmer,
horse.
Draft horse, that's right. You should see him carry some rocks. No, we've had a great conversation. Aaron, thank you for talking to us about the land, how special it is, just everything about it. Appreciate you being here, Aaron. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
My pleasure, Clayton.
All right. I'm Clayton Van Hus, director of Affirm. Thank you for joining us today on Watchmen on the Wall.
Clayton will return in just a moment to introduce a brand new segment. Friends, summer is here, which means not only are the temperatures rising, but the giving is down, way down. Historically, summertime giving is always slow, but this year, with the upcoming election and the economy, giving is at a critical level. Unfortunately, we're having to further cut expenses, including reducing the number of radio stations we're on. Friends, we need your help. Please be praying for Southwest Radio Ministries. Please ask the Lord to provide the needed funds so that we can continue to proclaim the good news. And as you're led, please consider giving a gift to our summer relief effort. Your one-time and monthly gifts are needed this month. You can give when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Thank you, friends, for your prayers and financial support of Southwest Radio Ministries. Clayton Van Hus returns now with Palestinian Christian Zach Mishriski to talk about the importance of America as a beacon of goodness and light to the world.
I'm Clayton Van Hus. I am director of Affirm Apologetics, which is the new apologetics branch of Southwest Radio Ministries. And I'm actually in the old city of Jerusalem. So if you hear noises of people going by or cars, this is being done on location because I'm hanging out with my good friend, Zach Mishriki. Zach, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad to be in contact with you all.
Well,
and I thank you, you know, because you have interest in the Holy Land and Jerusalem.
Yes. And Zach, you live here.
Yes.
And you are a Christian.
Yes.
You're a Palestinian Christian.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And I live in Israel.
You do. And
So it's like complicated. It's not black and white.
Right.
You could call me a local Jerusalemite. So just like keep it out of politics.
Right. Local Jerusalemite. And I have seen so many people stop by. So Zach, you have a couple of shops in the Christian quarter.
Yes.
Of the old city.
Yeah.
You're an expert in antiquities. You're also an expert in items that are produced in the Holy Land.
Yep. I believe, you know, I was in ministry, and I believe, you know, that Christians in the Middle East has to stay.
Yes.
They must stay. And we must find a way for them to stay. And we must find a good way for them to stay, you know? Like a love gift is not a good way. Today we're going to talk about olive wood.
Right.
You know, and treasures of the Holy Land. So they start teaching them handicrafts out of olive wood. So they start bringing olive wood, cut it, and handcraft it, you know, make a cross,
yes,
make a keychain, It's a good gift, you know, to people in the West. Olive wood is very important in the Bible.
Yes.
It's one of the species of the land.
Yes.
And the oil is mentioned in the Bible.
Yes.
And what's in the top of that, you know, even in the Old Testament, when Noah dove came back, came with an olive branch.
Right.
Olive branch, you know, or olive wood is a sign of prosperity and peace. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And peace is one we think of a lot when we think of olive wood.
Exactly.
And I think that's a lot of people when they come here, they buy olive wood and they pray for the peace
exactly.
of the people of the land.
Exactly. It's one of the species. It's local. Jesus prayed in, you know, in the Gethsemane, which is olive oil press. You know, and it's so much connected to the Bible.
Yes. And so these olive wood handicrafts have been made in this area for, well, since the British Mandate.
Since 100 years, more than 100 years.
And
this is the first gifts that came out from Jerusalem after in the last 100 years.
This is not just a cross. It also comes with oil.
Oil, a keychain with oil.
And what is that oil?
Olive oil from Jerusalem.
So handmade by Christians in the Middle East. It reminds us to pray for our leaders in America, but also for the peace of the people here in the Holy Land.
And supporting the economy of Israel.
That is great. Zach, thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk some more about some other items in upcoming programs, but we're so glad to have you.
Thank you, Clayton. From time to time, we'll be featuring items from Israel that we believe you will find uplifting and encouraging. Our first item from Israel is truly a Holy Land treasure. The Olive Wood Cross gift set with a handmade oil wood anointing oil keychain. The cross is engraved with God Bless America. This beautiful gift set made in Israel can be yours today for a gift of $20 or more to the ministry. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. You can order the Olive Wood Comfort Cross set also on our website, swrc.com. Authentic Olive Wood Cross with anointing oil keychain, made in Israel. Yours for a gift today of $20 or more. Order this Holy Land treasure when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we begin a brand new series with our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, and Bob McGinnis, examining what we know and frankly don't know about the surge of UFO activity. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit swrc.com.